welcome back to a freshly squeezed episode of the Flowscape podcast. And before we even get into anything, I'm going to let you know right now, Stinchy's coming off the golf course. It's 80 degrees in Texas. I'm feeling good. Okay, so here's how today is going to go. Spencer is going to kind of lead things, and I'm going to kind of go with the flow of that. But we... So here's... Do we just get into my round? Is that how we start this off? Because I played good. Yeah, I played good. I teed off at 7:20 this morning. Fantastic.
Right, early.
It was bright and early, but on a Sunday, when I got to the tee box, it was like 58 degrees. Beautiful. It was
like it.
And by hole 12, it was 72. It was the most perfect day here's the other thing. I wanted to play good today, and today's Sunday. So yesterday obviously was Saturday. I wanted to play good today. So
yes, that's how the week works.
Yes, that is how the week works. I wanted to play good today. And so I was like, you know what? I don't have anything to do tomorrow. I'm going to go to the range and I'm just going to have a time. I'm going to grab a water. I'm going to grab a Gatorade. I'm also going to grab a drink because I'm going to be there for a while. And I'm going to sit there and I'm going to get a decent sized bucket of balls. And I'm not going to like try to. You know when like people are at the range, even yourself, and you feel like you're just trying to muscle everything because you're at the range. Does that make sense? Like you're just trying to just like hit everything really hard and far because I'm like, come on, I'm at the range. Whoa. I was like, no, just find your swing. Don't worry about if you're chunking balls, if you're shanking balls. Just work on shit and find it. So I kind of found my swing. And I did a thing where like I was like, you know what, hit three good ones and then you can move on to the next club. And I was kind of moving through the club. I kind of found my groove and I was like, okay, nice. I also regripped my driver. I was having a little bit of issues getting my hands turned over with my driver specifically. And I went back to a grip I had before I changed from advice from somebody else that I was hitting good. Hit it. Just like I was hitting it before, spent like 30 minutes chipping balls. It was just a great day on the range. Fantastic day on the course. Here's the thing. I shot 88. So it's not like I shot wiped out, but the biggest thing was it was so consistent. I birdied a hole and I didn't go like double birdie double. I started off double, which to be honest, that's how every round of golf I play. If I don't double the first hole, I almost feel like there's a problem. That's just like my standard. I just like, oh, six on the first, not a big deal, whatever. It doesn't faze me anymore. Like that's the thing. So I got a six off the first, not a big deal. It was like hole three is a par five, birdied. Hole four is a par four. It's like I went birdie par. I went bogey par birdie par. And I was like, okay, I'm okay with like, this is now, then I doubled the next, but I was like, this is okay. It's not like based on my start, it's not a big deal. And I just played really consistent. I shot 43, 45, which is weird. It's weird though, because the 43 had three doubles, but I had two more pars and a birdie than I did on the back. No doubles on the back, but I only had two pars. The rest were bogeys. So I had a 43, 45. So when it was all said and done, I was like, you know what? If this is my golf game, but I'm hitting the ball like I was hitting the ball today, I'm perfectly okay with that because I wasn't fighting for anything. Does that make sense? Like I wasn't like.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Like it was just a clean round and like you shot the ball, you didn't duff anything.
Every single one of my
When
I was on the green, every single one of my putts was either for par or birdie. That was like the biggest like thing. I wasn't like on the green going, "Okay, this is for bogey." I was on the green going, "Okay, I have a chance at par." Now, whether I fuck that putt up and three putted for a double is what it is. But that was like the biggest part of my game today. Now, the drinks. We teed off at 7:20. She came around 9 o'clock. And we obviously wanted some. And she said, if you have cash, I can sell it to you because there's no footnote. There's no money note, but I can't legally charge a card for alcohol until 10 o'clock. It's Texas. And I was like, this. So but there's some courses where, like, if you buy food, there's like a law where, like, if you buy food, they can sell it. So I asked her, I was like, if I buy like a bag of chips or like crackers, can we drink now? And she was like, no, we don't do that. I was like, ah, great. So we just made it a point for her to come back around. So she came back around. By the time she came back around, I had the birdie. So there was some birdie juice that needed to be had. They had cold pink Whitney on the cart. So that was obvious. The wildest thing in Mansfield, Texas, just cold pink Whitney, just like a bottle of pink Whitney. I was like, okay. So that was obviously the shots that went around for my birdie, for the birdie juice. And then Jimmy, you know, Jimmy, we talk about him all the time. Me and him had a double transfusion, and then I had a course. So it was just the shot, the double transfusion, and the cores. The catch was I had no food. Because we teed off at 7:20 in the morning. I obviously did not get up early enough to stop or eat anything for breakfast. This course is also weird. You don't go by the clubhouse after the turn. You kind of have to go out of your way to go back to the clubhouse. Yeah. So me and Jimmy were in the cart behind our other two buddies. And I kind of told myself in my head, what they do, I'll do. And they did not go to the clubhouse. They just went straight to 10T. And I was like, okay, yeah, this is how we're doing it today. I'll eat later. So that, it's just how it went. But it was great. It was a great day. It's 85. I'm currently having a high noon tequila seltzer passion fruit. So this is where we are, Spencer. This is where we are. It is 75. It's Sunday. It's 85. It's 75. Sunday, it's 85. It's beautiful. I played good. This is where we are. Now, to get back to where we were before all of this, you're a pussy. You didn't want to wear the hat. We logged on together, Spencer and I. We were both wearing the same pond hockey hat from this year's pond hockey tournament, which we'll get into. And Spencer goes, hold on. And he wanted to change. So he had to change hats. He went back to last year's hat. So different hats. So Spencer, let's check in with you. How are you doing? You lead things from here on out for a minute.
Yeah, I wasn't going to match hats. We're just not doing that. I didn't want to do it. I don't care if nobody sees the YouTube videos or not. Mentally, I don't think I could do it. But yeah, it's not 85 degrees here. We had a nice sunny and 60 degree day yesterday, so I'll take that. But today's rainy and cold, so we're back to that. I think we've got that for a little bit. So golf clubs aren't coming out for a little bit. Still wintertime here in the Pacific Northwest. It's quite chilly.
I hate to cut you off. It just sucks because winter is officially, it's supposed to be chilly next weekend, but chilly for Texas is like 62, 58. But winter in Texas is officially, we're done. By hole 13, I was mad I was not in shorts. Yeah.
Yeah, if you teed off and it was 60 degrees, that's shorts and a pullover. That was just stupid on your part. let's get in. Let's get into some pond hockey.
Yeah, so let's do our pond hockey review. We attended for our seventh year in a row since 2018. Spencer and myself have been attending the this is so weird to say that we've been doing it this long. What was previously the Pabst Blue Ribbon Pond Hockey Tournament, which is now turned into just the Colorado Pond Hockey Tournament. We've been doing it so long, it's switched names, it's switched locations three times. But we attended our seventh year in the Colorado Pond Hockey Tournament, previously known as the Pabst Pond Hockey Tournament. And things were different. Things did not end, I don't think, either of the way either of us wanted them to end. But nonetheless, it was still a weekend where we got to just be with some guys that we don't typically get to be with unless it's one time a year that we played college with. And it's just a great time. So why don't you you go ahead and kind of give your synopsis of your feeling of the weekend and how things went and your positives and negatives, and then I'll jump in after that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, good weekend. Georgetown was definitely different. Absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous place. Like looking up in that little canyon we're in. Definitely missed being in Silverthorne and, you know, walking to the ponds. So that was definitely a bummer that the drive was tough. I think if you asked me before the tournament even started if we had a team to win the tournament, I would have told you no. But I definitely thought we had a team to go further than we did. I didn't think we were going to lose first round Sunday morning. But good group of guys. You know, we had fun. I think we'll definitely retune and retool for next year. But, you know, I think Mountain Time Division is definitely the division that to be in. I think that's the fun one. It's getting a little better, but it's just not chippy. I don't feel like I'm going to get cross-checked in the back when I go in the corner. So I'm happy to not have that. But, you know, good weekend. We had our fun.
Yeah, fucking cross check on the back
at the end of it. But yeah, ready for what is it? 300 days till next pond hockey season. So we got to start toughing it up.
Yeah, you got to get in the batting cage. So Spencer and I usually play on the same team. We have for 6 years. This year, things just got really fucked up. It's just hard to even describe what happened. It just didn't work out to where we could be on the same team and play in the same tournament. And it was a choice of, do we play on different teams and both still play, or do we take the chance of one of us not playing at all? So clearly the choice was we play for different teams and we both still play. We both still stay in the Airbnb and we're with the boys, and it's just a little bit different. So what Spencer meant by the chippiness, his team was in the Mountain Time Division, which is the division that we together and a few of the other guys he played with were together in last year. The 5 years previous to that, we were in the top division, which is called the Open Division, which is the division that I was back in this year. It is essentially full contact pond hockey, depending on who you're playing and when you're playing them. If you're playing certain teams, and if you're playing certain teams at certain points when people need to win or lose games in order to make Sunday, it's going to get very physical. And there have also been fights. Now, there's a strict no fighting policy, but there have been basically drop the gloves and square up fights in the Open Division specifically, and things have been like, okay, let's move this on so no one gets kicked, whatever it is. So that was the division I was in, and things did escalate. Spencer was watching a game I was in. Were you there when I got into it, or no?
I was there the second one, not the three cross checks to the back, but I saw your one cross check to the back.
Yeah. Okay. So, my team was playing a team who ended up winning the championship. I'm not going to say the name because I fuck them. I don't want to give them any kind of credit because they're legit fucking douchebags. Except for one guy. One guy's cool. The rest are douchebags. So I'm sorry. But so we played them on Saturday, our first game on Saturday, and we had to win out on Saturday. We had to go 2-2. We were 0-2. We had to go 2-2 in the Open Division to even have a chance at making Sunday. And we still wouldn't have done it based on goal differential and records. But anyways, so we played them. They're a very, very good pond hockey team. Very good pond hockey team. They know how to play the game. It's a very different game. It's 3-on-3. It's Mystery Alaska. It's the whole idea of the guys who play without boards and without real regulation size rinks throughout the year. It's a different game. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's the whole Mystery Alaska. Like, once you put the boards in play and once you put actual hockey involved, like, it's a different game. So we were playing them and we were down. My team was down. Shout out Grumpy Dumpies, Grumpy Dumps. We were down probably like 10-4 at that point. And this is like in the second half. So it's 2 15-minute halves. And I'm just going to get a puck. And there's no board. It's just like a wooden barrier. And I'm just going to get a puck. We're down 10-4. And this guy just fucking levels me. I mean, like, I was not expecting it. I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't like, there was no bracing for it because I was just going to get a puck. And I had my way with his lower back as far as cross checks after that went. I probably gave him 4 or 5.
You gave him an adjustment.
Yeah, I gave him an adjustment. And then Spencer saw this about 3 minutes later. I go to get a puck in the offensive zone, quote unquote, and I get kind of tangled up with this other guy, and we go down to the ice, and this guy wraps his body around my legs like an octopus, and won't let me, and is just holding me and like won't let me go. And finally I just cross check him in the back of the head very firmly and then proceeded to get chirped by their entire bench for that. And it was like, I even looked at you when I got back, when I changed for my line mate to go on. I looked at you, I'm like, did you see that? And you were like, what the fuck? So that is what Spencer means by he wants no part of the chippiness in the open division, just because realistically it is just a weekend for drinking and having fun and playing good hockey and being with the boys. But that open division just, it gets crazy out of hand. So we need to be back together next year, which I think we're going to be. I think if all is well in the world, it'll be the boys. It'll be the boys back for a run at the mountain time. No way they let Drake's team stay in the mountain time.
They can't. If you win 3 times, you got to move up.
So we have a good buddy. They play in the same division. We lost to them in the championship last year. But they have won the division below the top division 3 years in a row. Now after they beat us in the championship last year for their second win in a row, before that though, it was almost a rule. So this is what I mean by we've been in this tournament for so long. It was almost a rule that if you won the division below the open, I thought they like, it was almost they forced you to move up, because there was a year when we were in the open that one of our round robin games was against the team that won the division below us the year before. And they were like, yeah, we're just playing in this division because the tournament recommended, since we won, that we move up. And we smoked them, but it was like, oh, okay. So it was almost like they kind of like made you move up, and then they just kind of started.
I think
like,
it's highly recommended but I think they also give you the option to like defend your title. But I think when you defend your title and then you defend it again, they're probably going to, because they give them a pretty hard time this year.
Yeah, they're not like, I don't think like in an asshole way, but they definitely chirped them in more ways than one, even on social media with different things about how that team needed to move up, because they're a really good pond hockey team. They would do just fine in the open. Just fine in the open. Now, credit to that. Shout out to Josh and the Grumpy Dumps, because that was the open team that I got placed on by the tournament as just a random player. They needed a guy. And it was kind of fun because they kept just referring to me as their ringer just all weekend. Which I don't mind. Like, I kind of have a stigma about me. Mikey chirps me for playing pro in Israel, quote unquote. It's so funny. When he chirps me for that, it's hilarious. But yeah, so I was quote unquote their ringer. I had a great time. Just a great group of guys. It would have been a really, really awkward weekend if I wasn't playing with the guys like you guys that I was staying in the Airbnb with, but I was getting to the pond and just playing with guys that just weren't fun, just weren't competitive, just didn't have a good attitude. And it was the exact opposite. All of them were great guys. It was their first year and it was our seventh. So obviously they were very open. They were so open to like strategies I had, and they were very thankful for just the kind of insight that I gave them, which I couldn't be more thankful that they had me and were open to all that insight. So just shout out to them. Spencer, how I know you guys kind of, your team got kind of bounced out early, but where do you think the positives of us getting our team kind of back together are based on where you guys were at?
I mean, we'll be fine. We just, our second line kind of lost interest in the tournament towards the end. I think they were just a little tired and ready to go home. Whereas most of the guys we play with already live there anyways, so they're kind of down for that weekend. They're not like kind of, oh, I got to go to the airport. Oh, I want to go skiing. Oh, I'm in Colorado for vacation kind of thing. I think they kind of looked at it more as like, oh, I'm going on vacation. It's up in the mountains. I get to play some hockey, where it's like, no, we want to win. So I don't think they really got that part of it.
Yeah, it's
but our team.
So it's a different the way to win the top two divisions, the paths are very, very different. So there was 9 teams in the division I was in, the open division. And at the start of the tournament, when you looked at the playoff bracket, quote unquote, it had 8 teams in the playoff bracket. So there was a quarterfinal, semifinal, championship, which meant only one team didn't make the playoffs, which I thought was weird, but I was like, damn, you don't want to be that one team. You know what I mean? Like, you really got to fuck up to be that team.
Yeah.
Then though, they emailed us Friday night or Saturday night and said only the top 4 make it. So it really didn't matter. Like, it was going to come down to the best 4 teams in the division, which was not my team. No offense. Great guys. We played really, really well. We would not have been the worst team. We would have made it based on goal differential. So shout out to that. But it really just Saturday for us was just about like maybe winning a game or two and just like having a hope and a prayer. But the thing is, with your guys' division, Sunday is a grind. To win the Mountain Time division, there's like 60 plus teams in the Mountain Time division. So to win your division,
it's 32. It was a, I think, what did we figure out? It was a 5 game to win the final.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. 32 teams make the playoffs in that division that we played in last year, that we lost in the championship, and that you played in this year. It's, you have to win 5 games to win the championship, where to as opposed to the top division, you have to win 2, a semifinal and a championship. It's pond hockey, people, but let me tell you right now, we did it last year. Playing in those 5 games, trying to win that championship in the lower division is an absolute fucking grind. It's a grind. It is
marathon. My legs were noodles.
It's so hard. I think I was the most tired. I think I felt like I ran an Ironman marathon at the end of last year, losing in the chance. And that was the worst fucking part about last year, was you do all that work and you feel that way and there's nothing to show for it. Like, I couldn't sit there and be
8-1.
I couldn't sit there and be dead with a trophy on my noodle legs, like holding a beer. I had to sit there and be dead with just my noodle legs and a beer. No trophy. It's just like, you know what I mean? But Sunday is a fucking grind. So if there are a lot of guys who play in that pond hockey tournament who go into it with, I'm doing this and then I'm going to ski here and then I'll be back here. It sucks, man. It's if you're not in it to win it, it makes it really, really hard, because there's teams that it doesn't matter what division, you could be in the worst division possible in that pond hockey tournament, and there's a team there just to fucking win it. And if you don't take it seriously, they're going to fucking smoke you. And it's just kind of how it works out. But fuck, man, that's going on 25 minutes of a pond hockey review. I mean, I had a blast.
Yeah, I mean, it's the best weekend of the year. Absolutely. But, yeah,
even with, yeah, we'll get our team back. And here's the other thing. Here's what people need to understand. 7 years, it was different. The first year, it was 4 single guys with not a care in the world, nobody to answer to. I like, you know what I mean? And maybe not single, but like 4 guys with like no real like, obligations to life. And our 7th year, we've got babies, we've got wives. Next year we're gonna have to figure out a nicer house, because we're gonna have babies, wives. Everybody's gonna have babies and wives there. Yeah,
figure out if we want to do that or if we just do the boys again. Maybe guys with babies just want to get away from babies. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll figure that out. So that's enough of the pond hockey. Let's jump into actual hockey. And I'm going to lead in with this, and then you can take us from here. But holy shit, Matt Rempe. Let's just start there. We have to start there. This kid, if you don't know, this kid plays for the New York Rangers.
He's out to make a name for himself.
He is, on a run of just social media, just 10 seconds of fame over and over. So Matt Rempe plays for the New York Rangers. He is a rookie in the NHL. He made his rookie debut in the Winter Classic, or in the Stadium Series. Sorry, not Winter. It's so fucking confusing. It's just, it used to be one, now 10.
The outdoor game.
One of the outdoor games. Made his NHL debut, which, if you don't know, when you make your NHL debut, they call it a rookie lap, where your team lets you skate out first and you skate in front of all the fans there for warmups, however many there are, by yourself for a couple laps. You take a couple shots and then the team joins you. His rookie lap was at MetLife Stadium with 70,000 people watching him skate solo, a couple solo laps, shooting a couple pucks by himself, which is just bonkers and just unreal for him as a player and a kid. Then this kid goes out, first shift, fights Matt Martin, who is an NHL heavyweight, who has been for years, who can chuck knucks, who is a very strategic fighter, who knows what he's doing. This kid is young. He did very, very well. Not to mention he's 6'8". Okay, he's 6'7", 6'8".
He's a big boy. Oh,
he's a big boy. Anyway, regardless, it doesn't matter how big you are. You have to know what you're doing at that level to be able to fight at that level. He did very, very well. Got everybody going. He got the people going. He was listening to Lady Humps by Black Eyed Peas. He was Chaz Michael Michaels. He did everything he needed to do. Then this motherfucker, in a good way, and I mean motherfucker in a good way, then this motherfucker goes out and gets a fucking 10-minute game misconduct ejection 2 minutes into the fucking next game at home or wherever it was. I am on his side. If you go back and
I thought it was very borderline.
Let me be honest. And that's what I mean by good thing by motherfucker. That hit is a classic case of, and listen, I've coached youth hockey. I've played hockey at every level up and down for however long. That hit was a classic case of, I'm so fucking tall. How low do you want me to be able to bend in order to hit somebody the way you want me to? He bent down, he ducked his shoulder. His shoulder just, he's 6'7", he's 6'8". The guy he hit was fucking maybe 6 foot. That's what I'm saying. Like, I understand it was a major penalty, and I think that's why he didn't get suspended, he didn't get fined, because of that, the reason we're discussing now. But it's almost like I don't even want him to get kicked out of that game. I don't even want that to be a major penalty. It's like he can't do anything about the size difference.
Rule, though, like, the principal point of contact was his head. So it's kind of like, maybe that's just black and white. Like, you hit his head, you're gone. We're just trying to get that out. But yeah, it sucks because he was such a big man hitting such a little man.
Yeah, I mean, that is it. I mean, that is it. And it does suck. Now, in my head, I was like, shit, he might get sent down for that. Even though I didn't think it was a fucking hit that was like, whatever. Credit to Laviolette. He didn't fucking send him down. He kept him up. He understood what the hit was. He understood it wasn't malicious. He understood Rempe. It's just, here's the thing. If Rempe doesn't play on that edge or doesn't play on the line like that, he gets sent down immediately. He has to. That's his game. Then this fucking kid last night goes out, and the New York Rangers are playing the Philadelphia Flyers, and this kid drops the gloves with Nick Deslauriers, who is, if not the toughest guy, if not the toughest guy in the NHL, he is the top three toughest guys in it. He's fought Reeves multiple times. He's fought every heavyweight. He's pummeled multiple guys. He's a fucking monster. He's not a very big guy, but he will beat the shit out of you. He will beat the piss out of you and not look twice and blow you a kiss after he's done. Him and Rempe square up and have a fucking unreal fight where they were just chucking knucks to fucking hurt each other. And I saw it coming. Did you watch the game?
No, I didn't watch it. I just saw the fight.
Man, I saw it. So I watched the game. I was cleaning the house, doing different things around the house, watching the game, doing this and that. And that was a period of time where I was kind of on the couch actually watching the game. And I saw this brewing, and it was multiple shifts where they were out there together. And each one was not really challenging each other, but they were going back and forth on hit and little jabs with their sticks and this and that. And finally it happened. And man, credit to Rempe. He deserves it. Unless somebody gets Wheeler's out for the season, it looks like, I think he solidified his spot in that starting lineup for the rest of the year. You can't send the kid back down after what he's, I mean, that's just.
No, you can't. He's got fans everywhere in New York now. That's the kind of hockey he's going to have to tone it down a little bit come playoffs. But I think right now that's what that team needs. They need a little bit of piss and vinegar to get them going, because they're right on that borderline. Even it kind of got Shesterkin going. So maybe he can actually, stop a puck again.
You know what he can't do? He can't pull a Michael Bunting in the playoffs. You remember when when the talk of the town was Michael Bunting and how he played on that edge and he was getting people off their game, and then all of a sudden into the playoffs and the next few games of the season until he got traded, he was getting suspended, he was getting fined because he took that edge and he just took it too far. You're exactly right. Rempe cannot do that. He's got to play the hit is fine, right? But here's the problem with that hit. You can't now you can't put yourself in another position where you go take a fucking 10-minute misconduct. Now you kind of have to ride the line on the hits. You know what I mean? Like you can't go out of your way to try to hit somebody on the odd chance that you can't get low enough and make contact correctly.
Once the playoffs happen, you have to play hockey. But this kid, so we're looking at this kid. He's got 3 games played. He's got 9 minutes and 56 seconds on the ice. And 27 PIMs, 2 heavyweight fights, and an ejection. I mean, you want to make a name for yourself entering the NHL? That's how you do it.
He's made it. He's made it. He's made a name for himself.
As Reeves said when he got asked about him, he said, "I want to make hockey violent again."
Exactly. We'll get him on the pod. Don't worry. We'll get him on the pod. I'll get him.
So on the note of making hockey violent again, we're going to talk about this, whatever the hell happened between ASU and Alaska Fairbanks.
Holy shit. I showed my girlfriend that video yesterday. We were outside. It was beautiful outside. And I went to my Instagram and looked at it. And she was sitting in the chair next to me on the back porch. And I went, "You got to fucking watch this. If you don't know, you got to go to," and I'll just assume people don't know. Fuck you, Janello. You got to go look at ASU versus the Alaska University Nanooks hockey game. It wasn't just a fight. There was a lot of other shit that happened. There's a good last seven minutes of the game are pretty you could see what was going to go on. You're not allowed to fight in college hockey. But here's the thing. A lot of guys in college hockey know how to fight because they played in junior leagues in the United States that allow fighting. So you go from junior hockey where you can fight to college hockey where you can't fight to pro hockey where you can fight. So there's like a year, unless you're going to be like a legit pro and you're gone after a year, there's a good year to 3 years where if you're really trying to find your way in the hockey career path, you're not allowed to do some of the things you were allowed to do for 4 to 3 years. It's about the same amount of time. So Arizona State was playing the Alaska University of Nanooks, and things got very chippy towards the end. To be honest with you, I can't tell you who won or who lost. I know the Nanooks were up very late, and I know ASU made kind of a comeback, which was what kind of sparked all of this. But there were 2 kids in the box. One from ASU, one from Alaska. And they were jawing at each other. And obviously it was a mutual combat agreement.
They let themselves out of the box.
This is wild. They literally there was no, I think their penalties were over, but they opened the door for themselves in the box from the video, from what I can tell. And they go and square up. they left the box with no helmet and no gloves and no stick. All of the equipment, Spencer, was in the goddamn box.
I know, but I think there's a borderline line brawl in the corner. So the play stopped and
everyone started jawing
at each other. They start jawing
at each other. That makes sense.
And they open the box doors.
That makes way sense. So for those of you who didn't hear Irish Crickets, you heard the pop. I just opened up a lemon white claw. We're in it. This is my last one for the day. I'm calling it quits after this. But this is Sunday and we're podcasting. And we're talking hockey fights. That makes a whole lot of sense because, like I said, the last 7 minutes of the game, if you go watch the replays, were very chippy. There was a brawl in the corner, and I think that is what – okay, so all the – because if you watch the video, people, these kids fight. No helmet, no gloves, no stick. College hockey, you're not supposed to fight anyways. Usually, if you do – in old school college hockey, there's like an agreement on a face-off, and typically in any high level of hockey, once two grown adults, because even if they're college, they are grown adults, they're 18 years old. Once two grown adults agree to combat each other in that way, usually the refs are like, I'm not going to get punched in the face until one of you is in danger, and then we will break it up. It doesn't matter the level, if fighting is involved or not, they'll dove out suspensions later. These two kids came out of the box with no upper body equipment, no gloves, no sticks, no helmet. And they fucking squared off for a good 10 seconds, sized each other up. And in that 10 seconds, there is not a ref to be seen.
There's nowhere in the arena. You can't even see the other players. So that's why I was like, what the hell is going on? It just looks like it's like between periods and they're like, fuck this, I'm fighting.
Usually in any hockey fight, there is with doesn't matter what level it is, if they're letting it go, there is a ref within arm's reach of the players just in case something happens to where this is where it gets crazy. These two guys engage each other and are just it's not like they didn't know how to fight. But it was a little bit wild. It wasn't like an NHL fight. If you watch an NHL fight, it's very strategic. Guys know how to grab. Guys know how to balance. Guys are also most of the time older. And if they're not older, they're most of the time mature enough in the fact that like they know what they're doing really. When you get a couple of college guys who are just fucking – the testosterone is just flowing – and there's a line brawl and one team is down and these two kids are talking shit, there's not going to be a whole lot of strategy that goes into that makes any sense, right? So these kids just grab onto each other and just start throwing. Every punch had bad intentions. Every punch was trying to knock the fucking piss out of the other guy. And they got a little wild and they ended up going down to the ice. A referee finally kind of came in and they both ended up going down to the ice. Now, here's where it goes even farther. They go down to the ice. One kid does a, this is where, as a guy who likes to fight, sorry, mom, and as a guy who believes fighting should stay in the game, things did get dangerous there in that fight for a second where the kid skates. He does kind of a corrupt, not on purpose, where he was just trying to get his weight over, but he kind of flips over the kids and that kid skates. His legs go up at a high rate of motion and kind of swoop around. Does that make sense? What I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? And I'm not taking anything away from those kids. Nobody did anything malicious or anything like that, but it's things like that, the not stopping when a ref comes in to break up the fight, is what is going to eventually probably get that null and void from any league. But regardless, right? Ref comes in to break it up. They go down. Ref thinks for maybe half a second he's got control of these two kids. And
then no control.
And then no. These two kids get back up. they start throwing, again, punches that are trying to just beat the living piss out of the other guy. And the ref says, okay. And he backs completely out of the way. Then he's completely out of fucking frame. He just leaves. He goes to get a goddamn hot dog and a Diet Coke from the fucking stands. He's gone after that. He's like, all right, I'm fucked this. Liney's, you're up. You're in. The kids chuck for a good, quite a while. And then the linesmen get in and finally break that up. Shout out to those two kids. I don't know their names, but I love the piss and vinegar. I love the spirit. I love the oomph. What I can say is, I know you're worked up. I know it's a crowd. I know when the original ref gets in there to break it up, and this is coming from a guy that holds the league lead in penalty minutes in two seasons in a quote unquote professional, semi-professional league overseas. And I'm not even that tough. You got to stop. Like, I get it. I understand. But you have a lot more hockey potential than I ever did. And you don't want to do something really, really stupid that fucks that up. So my only suggestion would be next time, once the original ref makes contact, just call it for what it is, whether you got what you wanted in on the punches or not, whether you won or lost or not. Maybe just take a number and say, hey, I'll take my suspension. Next game we play you, me and you agree off the face-off, we're going to just go. But that's my thing. That's my whole overall analysis. But shout out to those two kids. Fucking tough motherfuckers. Piss and vinegar. Nobody got hurt, which is the best thing. And it was great. It was fun to watch. Spencer, what's your take on that whole thing? Yeah. You sent it to me. You sent it to me, so...
Hey, it was just wild. It was crazy because these two guys come out of the box and you see no one. So it was just like...
It's just so funny.
Everybody.
Like, so funny. There's nobody there.
There's no play going on. I'm like, wait, what? What? You can't just let yourself out of the penalty box. So it's just like, there were so many things in my mind where I'm like, what? What's... And then they just throw. So, I don't know. Yeah, make hockey violent again. You got that. You got
terrible. Do you remember a few years ago, my dad and I will never forget this because it was a moment, you know, those hockey moments you're on, you just happen to be watching with your dad on TV, whenever they are. And you just like a couple years later, your dad will be like, you remember that? And you're like, oh, fuck yeah, I remember that. Do you remember when the Caps played the Tampa Bay Lightning in the playoffs, in the Stanley Cup final, not the Stanley Cup finals, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and Tom Wilson and Braden Coburn came out of the box and fought each other? That reminded me of that. Like I'll never forget that fight because I had never seen a fight like that in quite some time where it was two guys who it was agreed, but it was also, I fucking hate you. There was a while there in the NHL where agreed fights, like where like you mutually kind of agreed to fight somebody, wasn't necessarily like hate or animosity. It was just because that was either how you were going to stay on the team, stay in the league, or you needed to get your team going. Right. There's also fights where it's agreed, and it's agreed between two guys who fucking hate the living shit out of each other. And every punch they throw is not it. The agreed upon fights between guys who don't have a problem with each other is very strategic. They're grabbing certain ways because they need longevity. They don't want to break a hand. They don't want to get a concussion. They don't want to get knocked out. They're doing it for certain reasons. Then there's the agreed upon fight between two fucking guys who their only goal, whether they get knocked out or not, is to knock the fucking other guy out. And that was what Tom Wilson and Braden Coburn did that year in the playoffs. You can go look up that fight. It's fucking unreal. And that is what reminded me of. I mean, it was just insane.
No, I know exactly the moment you're talking about. Yeah. No.
Shout out those two kids. Shout out those two kids. Make hockey violent again in a good way. We don't mean that in a stupid fucking cynical way. We mean that in the best way possible. Because we grew up watching and for the most part actually playing that kind of hockey. So in regards to the beginning of the podcast, Spencer, after I did the Matt Rempe thing, which I think I deserve points for, based on how my day went, Where do you want to go with this? Where are you thinking?
So we've got 25 games left in the NHL season.
Yes, we do.
Who do you think? So we're talking wild card.
Okay.
Who do you think's in and who do you think's out? So I forgot to grab the other two team or one of the teams for the East. But right now, do you think Philly is in or out of the playoff?
Let me look. I'm pulling it up right now.
No, it's one word answer. In or out?
In. I think they're in. I think New Jersey's out.
You think New Jersey's out, huh? You think Detroit's in or out?
In.
Oh, you say Detroit in.
This
I
is
think New Jersey's gonna get. I think New Jersey's getting in.
Listen. You're getting me at my peak honesty. This is inebriated. No food. Spencer, it's 2:48 p.m. and I haven't eaten a thing. Not a bag of chips. Not a fucking thing of peanut butter crackers. Nothing. This is you are getting. And for anybody listening, the lemon white claw is in full effect. So I'm past the high noon onto the lemon white claw, plus the transfusion, plus the shot, plus the Coors Light on no food. You're getting pure honesty right now. Detroit's in. There's no. What do you want me to say?
Okay. Well, we know Stinger's opinion on the East. All right. We'll talk West then. Is LA in or out?
Out. I just don't like them. I don't like them.
Nashville, in or out?
Out. I don't like them.
St. Louis, in or out?
Well,
now it gets hard.
Yeah, see.
So as it stands now, LA and Nashville have the West wild cards, and St. Louis and Minnesota are the first two looking in.
This is... I think I fucked up with the LA thing. I think based on points, I was just going based on drunk gut feeling. based on points. Based on points, LA is obviously getting in. It does come down to Nashville or St. Louis. Now, being me and am what I am right now, I will stick with my gut and I will say Nashville's out, St. Louis jumps them. I'll say St. Louis makes the playoffs over Nashville this year. Which I kind of hate to say. That's the thing. Can I be quite honest? If we're being.
I don't think anybody's listening. If people are still listening 50 minutes.
Listen. People are listening. People are listening. And there's ways. People are listening. Okay. I got us a few new followers with the Grumpy Dumps. People are listening. And.
50 minutes into this.
Listen, next year, Pond Hockey, I'm forcing everybody. I will pay for them. This is drunk me again. I will pay for them because it'll only come out to be about $300 in the long run. I will pay for Flow Skate Podcast jerseys. That is a big way we're going to grow this thing. And we'll do
alternates for sure.
I'll do a booth or whatever. But regardless. Speaking in all honesty, if anybody were to jump into that second wild card spot right now based on the way that they're playing, it would be Minnesota, which is so contradictory to what I've said earlier in earlier podcasts or the season, because they've been jack shit all year. They've been jack shit. I mean, the Stars fucking scored 18 power play goals on them in fucking one game. I mean, they've been horrible. Even after the hiring and firing, they haven't been great. But lately, they've been really fucking hot. And I like their game better than St. Louis's in the long run because they are Minnesota. So I in all honesty, if Minnesota jumped both Nashville and St. Louis to sneak that second wild card, I would not be surprised. But if you're making me choose between Nashville and St. Louis based on my stupid drunk comment of fucking LA not making it, I have to pick St. Louis. I don't have a choice. You left me with no options. I mean, you left me with no options. So, listen, my Dallas Stars, they were scaring me there for a second, and I want to get your full analysis on them, because I want your honesty on my personal favorite team. They were scaring me there for a second because they went on that road trip up east and lost. Was like 3 out of 4. It was like Boston, Rangers, and Ottawa. And the Ottawa game, I was like, this is the game where he gets some points back here. And they got fucking shelled 4-1. And I was like, fuck. Well, then they come out the other night and win a really, really good game. So my question to you is, what is your honest opinion of the Dallas Stars? Where do you think their biggest weakness is? And where do you think their biggest strength, that if they go far, is you going to look back and going, I called that, Stinch?
I think their strength is their speed and their weakness is their size. I think, but so do I think they can take Vegas or Colorado in a 7-game series? I don't.
Yes. Think. Yes.
Nope.
So no,
I think they get bullied. I think they get bullied. But I don't know.
Hold on,
team. I think they're really strong, but I think like matching the Colorado, it's 7 games and it's a toss up. But then I think they just get beaten up by a team like a big team like Vegas.
They got bullied by Vegas last year, and that was their issue last year. But Vegas is not the same Vegas.
They will be.
Will they do that? Like, I don't. I'm not just saying that because Dallas is my team. I'm just saying that because I don't think they will be. Now, Colorado gives Dallas the biggest problems. They are. You remember what, like, it was like
a, like,
yeah, you, yeah. Do you remember when we were in college? It was like 2011 to 2013, 2014. It was like Minnesota and Colorado. It was like a toss up between who the two. That's Dallas and Colorado now every single year. Even with Colorado winning the cup, it's a toss-up of who, which one of those two teams. It depends on if they play each other. Now, based on
who's healthier going into the series?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Who do you think has better goaltending, Dallas or Colorado? Let's say it's Dallas and Colorado. Yeah, Dallas. It's got to be. Now, you take Colorado's D all day.
And top end scoring.
Man, are you sure though?
Top end, not depth. I think I'd take Dallas depth scoring, but I think I'd take Colorado top end scoring.
Rantanen's not hot, and that Duchesne Sagan line is fucking, and Marchment line is really, really, really good right now.
Yeah, but Nathan MacKinnon. I'm just going to say that name, Nathan MacKinnon.
He's going to
be probably the MVP, Nathan MacKinnon.
That's fine, but he's been known to get shut down. I'm being facetious. I don't even know how to spell it. I'm being facetious.
I don't even think that's the right word
It's probably not, and I'm an English teacher, but who's fucking counting? Okay. Who's fucking
counting, good? Talking, spell it.
Yeah, who's fucking counting? Okay, no, I don't disagree. I disagree with you, but I don't disagree with you, if that makes any sense.
You know I'm right, you just don't want to say it.
Now, can I be... Here's the honest question. Here's where you're either an idiot or you're not. If Dallas... Here's where you're either dumbass or you're not. One of the two, okay? If Dallas were to just kind of make a run and kind of run the table and win the Stanley Cup, would that surprise you? See, there we go. You're not a dumbass. Okay, I knew it. I fucking knew it.
I think it's just it's a really wishy-washy.
It's a the West is such a toss-up. The West is such a toss-up.
Yeah, if there's like 6 or 7 teams at the end of the season, you're like, oh, this team won the Stanley Cup. I'd be like, yeah, I could see that. Whether it's Toronto, Edmonton, Dallas, Vegas, Colorado. Tampa,
Boston, Vancouver.
Vancouver, like, they, no, okay, yeah.
There's about,
it's ridiculous.
You are 100% correct. There's about 5 teams right now where at the end of the year, if you told me, like, if you were like, hey man, you can't watch hockey until the Stanley Cup is over. Like, you did, you fucked up, like, for whatever reason. You did this, you can't watch hockey.
Yeah.
But then you told me, like, one of five teams won the Stanley Cup. I'd be like, okay, that's one of the five teams I fucking had winning the Stanley Cup. It's like, to me, it's like Vancouver, it's Colorado, it's Dallas, it is, see, now inebriated, attention, trying blanks. Vancouver, Colorado, it's Dallas, from the east, Boston, and Florida. There's my five. Fuck Toronto. They're not getting anywhere with their goaltending. There's my inebriated
I think they're going to have to make a big deadline move, either them or New Jersey. Yeah, New Jersey, too. If, like, they make a big deadline move, somebody tells me New Jersey won the Stanley Cup, be like, all right, Jack Hughes is the MVP. Cool, move on.
No, fuck no way. There's no – if you told me I was going to get shot in the head and go into a goddamn coma today – and I would wake up after the day after the Stanley Cup final and the New Jersey Devils won the Stanley Cup, I would fucking tell you to just kill me. That's not, there's no fucking, I would just tell you to kill me. There's no way. There's no way.
You've already been shot in the head. So
yeah. Okay. And there's no fucking way. Now, again, there's my five. There is Vancouver, Dallas, Colorado, Boston, Florida. There's my five picks. If any one of these five win the Stanley Cup, no, there's no thought in my mind going, really? How'd they pull that off? Anybody else past that, I might question, like, they must have made a fucking huge fucking pickup. They must have done some cheeky Tampa Bay injured reserve type salary cap shit. I don't know. But there's just no way. That's my five. But again, if you told me, I would wake up from a coma and the New Jersey Devils was there, just fucking kill me. Just put me back to sleep. I don't want anything. I don't want anything out of this life. Just let me die. Let me die. We're buzzing.
I'll let you die.
Let me die.
I'll let you die right here then.
Well, let me die. We're buzzing. Where are we going from here? What if, just hear me out. Hear me out. What if the Buffalo Sabres?
This is your last thought.
What if the Buffalo Sabres sneak in the five? Just kidding. I'm just fucking kidding. I'm just kidding. All right. Well, yeah. Well, that's the Flowscape podcast. That's it. We love you, everybody who listens. Shout out to everybody who listens. That's the Flowscape podcast. Spencer, you got anything?
Peace.